You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. Burgers are best fresh from the grill. Well, more specifically, burgers with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. And what backyard barbecue is complete without some potato salad? Not just any potato salad, of course. Potato salad highlights the rich, creamy goodness of Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. So if you want to take your barbecue season to the next level, stock up on Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Around the NFL podcast has downgraded Mark to questionable.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I am Dan Hanzus. Greg Rosenthal here. Mark Sessler, now you did take the serum. Is that why the injury designation you were downgrading?
I don't know the reason. These things are typically, you know, just dropped out of thin air onto my into my lap.
I did learn that Baker
questionable
Mayfield,
to do what? How about that? Like
after Dr. Tuffelhammer, rest in peace, by the way.
Wow.
Breaking news.
Didn't make it to today's show.
We lost the good doctor. That cough was as bad as it sounded. Baker Mayfield dealing with a really nasty case of gigantism in the head right now. So hopefully that calms down by the opening of the legal tampering period on Monday.
I also like that Baker Mayfield learned from a reporter during the Truth Serum interview that he was about to become a father. That seemed to catch him off guard during the actual interview.
I don't know. It caught him off guard, or maybe he just revealed that didn't care that much. He was just like, got the au pair. I got things. I got money. Baker's still in the Baker zone. You know what I mean?
But I don't think he knew that his significant other was pregnant, but based on how that interview went.
I mean, he's got his wife in those commercials, too. So this is a big spot for Baker. Gigantism, though. That's
a tough one. I think he did say he expressed surprise. I think he said, oh, really?
I mean, she's like heavily pregnant, right? That. So he's not very observant during the offseason. He's off on his own, doing his own thing.
As you wrote, Greg, in your 101 write-up, he's gotten better with, you know, quick decisions. Maybe he's so quick now, he has not looked down and seen his wife extremely pregnant.
I worry about how he sees the field then. That seems like a troubling, as troubling as his career, which like has one great year, one bad year. You want him on the year with the 1 year, $3 million contract, and maybe not the $35 million contract. What's going to happen?
I keep hearing he had a great season.
We'll see.
Like, was it great?
He had great moments. Actually, his
finish strong.
And we're going to get into all the free agents with the franchise tag in the rear view and the transactions now largely done, you would imagine, as teams really dig in this weekend to begin finalize their plan of attack for free agency, which will be all over next week. Shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if necessary, Friday. A couple years back, we did a Deshaun Watson lands with the Browns Friday emergency podcast.
That was another time when I was went out to lunch and like thought that would be a calm afternoon, and then bang, and like a nuclear bomb lands on your face.
We'll also be taping
in your face
that Monday show from right before the iHeart podcast.
Yes,
we're finding out, see if we win.
Hopping on a plane on Sunday and heading to the iHeart Awards.
I think we're going to win that, by the way.
Really?
I just feel a sort of an energy. Like we just assume we're going to lose to the Kelseys. I think it's going to go the other way. I'm predicting. I think we're going to win.
Like Dune style disturbance in the forest type situation.
I don't know what I'm not a Dune person, but like,
isn't that?
No, it's not, and you know it's not. Stupid.
That's a stretch. All right. So anyway, to talk about all that free agency stuff, we have one of the biggest names in the game, Mina Kimes, who does it all over at ESPN, and she's been on our show many times, and she'll be back on the show again in a little bit, talking over Greg's list and free agency in general. But before that, let us get caught up on some news.
Hopefully, give us our best chance to win the whole thing.
Gonna get a final Let's Ride for Broncos Country.
Oh, of course, Broncos Country. Let's ride.
There we go.
All right, so Russell Wilson. You've heard of this guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, now.
Once upon a time was a huge star for the Seattle Seahawks. He went to the Broncos, where he's expected to continue to be a huge star. That didn't work out. And now he is free to sign with any team. And the Steelers are on that list of potential teams. Beat writer Jerry Dulock, who's been there for a long time, reports that the team has interest in signing Wilson. Wilson, according to Dulock, also has interest in the Steelers. We talk about right church, wrong pew. I said last week when we were talking Justin Fields with Roto Pat that it's the worst smokescreen in Pittsburgh since the then Redskins, well, then Redskins, then coach Mike Shanahan said he was deciding between John Beck and Rex Grossman, and he's ready to stake his reputation upon it. That's how it feels like with the quarterback room in Pittsburgh right now. They have to bring somebody in, or we simply cannot take the Steelers seriously. However, Mark Sessler, I'm not sure if Russell Wilson joining the gang leads us to take them seriously, but it would be an upgrade. Let's say that.
That's sort of what everyone's come to agree on. It's an upgrade. In theory, over Kenny Pickett. I think it's a tough sell inside the building. It's a tough sell to your to us fan base that, you know, is not going to have the wool pulled over their eyes. Like, we've all watched Russell Wilson for 2 years, and you can spin last season as like he was vastly improved. Like, no, he wasn't. Like, he is a shell of what he used to be, and I think it's a tough sell for Steelers fans to say we're going this direction, or it's the only thing we're going to look at least explore other options.
I disagree with that. I think he was much improved from year one in Denver. In fact, and counting stats are, they can mislead, but look at his counting stats with Hackett in year one in Denver. He threw for over 3,000 yards. He threw for 26 touchdowns, just 8 interceptions, got benched down the stretch. So he could have flirted with a 30-touchdown season there in Denver, which we kind of don't even think about it that way because it didn't look so great. The tape didn't quite match some of the good production, but he had runs where he did succeed. So, yes, I think I agree with you, Mark, that it's a hard sell. But maybe it's a bigger upgrade than we think, just because we're so down on Wilson and the Wilson experience at this point.
I'm closer to Mark here in the two polls, just because what's that saying? Don't let perfect be the enemy of good. So that would be a reason. Okay, well, Russell Wilson's an incremental improvement. I would say do let perfect be the enemy of good in this case. The whole point of a front office is to find a top 10 to 12 quarterback. That's it. That's the most important thing that is in your entire organization until you have one. You need to have a shot to go find one. And signing Russell Wilson is giving up on that shot to me. He's not a big enough upgrade to me from Mason Rudolph. To me, he is the Kenny Pickett of like veteran quarterback options, where Kenny Pickett was like this guy that no one really wanted to take in the first round, and he was the 20th pick in the first round. He wasn't like a real exciting quarterback prospect. It was like kind of aiming for the middle, and that's Russell Wilson. There's no point in signing a mid-level quarterback because that's going to stop them from going after a great quarterback, which is what they need to do. Like, they need to spend all their resources on that.
I think you might... I could have this wrong, but perfect is the enemy of good would mean that they are only going for the best possible. And because they're only going for the best possible, they're not looking at getting something good or close to.
Yeah. Like don't ignore getting better. I think Russell Wilson in theory is getting better. So I say that does not apply here.
You want the words flipped.
No, I say what I've heard before is good is the enemy of great.
Well, it's all in the same.
If you settle for Wilson, you're not going for the great, which would be the top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
Perfect is the enemy of good.
It's all in the same idea.
I more side with Mark on this side of the poll.
This is going great so far.
Voltaire is the man who is most commonly attributed to. So
I wish we could dig him up and ask him.
Right. I don't know where Voltaire had Russell Wilson on his free agency rankings, but it's like, to me, it's not high. It's not enough higher than Kenny Pickett or Mitchell Trubisky.
Well, according to your rankings, you'd rather have Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
I mean, Russell Wilson also had one of the highest sack percentages in the NFL in each of the last 2 years.
Important to note.
His yards per attempt last year were actually down from the year before.
Slice me up a piece of that Jake Brisket.
I like Jake Brisket, but I mean, is he going to be the new Teddy now? We're going to be talking about him 12 years from now.
No,
great option.
But my point is,
don't get me started on Tyrod Taylor in your top eight. Please?
He's top eight free agent quarterbacks. He played great last year in his limited time, so he's a great backup.
He walks with a limp at this point.
Backups are worth something. But Jacoby, to be fair, would kind of be in the same bucket for me where you're not really trying for a great quarterback either. I think he'd be a better option, but the point is you need to be putting bigger resources into taking a big swing. You're not going to win with defense and running.
In that division too, please.
All right. So, yes, as we talked about at the beginning of yesterday's show, the decision to trade for Russ Wilson in Denver and then give him the massive contract will continue to reverberate with that organization for years because they have $85 million in dead cap money. Not to bum out, you know, my neighbor or whatever. But
sounds like he's already going through
some things. They have no chance to win the Super Bowl in the next 2 years, in my opinion. And I think deep down they know it too. So is it affecting some roster decisions now as they look ahead to the next season? The Broncos release safety Justin Simmons. This man was a second team all pro in 4 of his last 5 seasons. He's been to the Pro Bowl multiple times. He's not young, but he's not old. He's turning 30 at the start of next season. Had another productive season last year. The Broncos move on. Greg, I think Simmons has got to be in a good place on the 101. And B, is this a direct correlation to Russ?
I think it's a close correlation to Russ. I think they viewed Simmons, it was written by one of the beat reporters, as a luxury that they could no longer afford. I think it's a little more complicated than that. He's turning 31 this year, and he's coming off probably his worst season. I know he got that second team All-Pro that might have been off reputation if you talk to some people. So, like, you saw some decline, and he's getting older at a cheap position. Would he have been released, though, if they just had, like, $80 million in cap space? No, probably not. So this is a rare case, I think. It is a cap cut, but if he was playing at his very best level, he wouldn't be cut. Every time these cuts happen, like some people point out, see, the cap is real. All you people that say the cap's not real, it's real. I get that. But there's always like context to it, which is these players still never get released if the teams really want to keep him. I don't think they really wanted to keep Justin Simmons. They didn't really view him as a difference maker.
Yeah, just against the combination of his age, his position, and the fact that they legit did need to make some tough decisions with the Russell Wilson situation, and 14.5 in cap savings is that matter.
Well, and to Dan's good point yesterday, take all the medicine you can now. So it's like, we're not winning the Super Bowl this year. Justin Simmons at most probably has one more year left with us based on this contract. It's like do the Patriots thing where maybe we'll risk getting rid of him a year too early, but it's probably not and just move.
Because they can have it be a $53 million price tag this year and they'd have to make some more cuts. But it's like they can make it not just split down the middle.
For Russell.
Right, right. For Russell's part of it. But that would affect the rest of their financials. But I totally agree with Dan. It's like use this year to get as healthy as you can for next year.
So I'm with you. They can't win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years, kind of, of course. But I don't think it's not just because of Russell Wilson. It's just because he's inheriting a pretty bad roster. It is crazy to me, and this is an anomaly. Last year, the Bucs had $76 million in dead cap space. 76. The Rams had over 70. Mm. They both made the playoffs. The next two teams on that list were the Packers and the Eagles, who had nice seasons, because they ate a lot for Aaron Rodgers, over 55. So I think there's a route to being competitive, not winning a Super Bowl, certainly not this Broncos.
What were those teams again? The Rams?
The Rams and the Bucks.
Established star quarterback, Bucks.
Sure, but over-under, like, win total was the lowest in the league.
I guess what I'm saying is,
they were a surprise.
Why I'm especially strong on that with Denver is not only did that move backfiring kill you financially, you're starting over again at quarterback. So yeah. It's like, unless something falls into your lap, it was a 5-year mistake.
Their route is the Baker.
Been there. It sucks.
The Baker route where the Bucks stumbled on Baker for that amount of money, got decent quarterback play. Could they do that? Certainly.
Yes.
With Sean Payton.
Or a rookie. Coach.
I mean, they could do it with Baker.
The problem is the rest of the roster. I'm with you. The Bucks, the Rams. Now, in hindsight, the Packers had a lot more going on.
We also spent about 4 off seasons in a row suggesting that the Broncos looked like an AFC title type roster, and it never panned out. None of these guys ever panned out across the board.
That always bothered Wes. Wes was always kind of big on the Broncos.
They just looked loaded in the offseason.
Even the Joe Flacco often. Broncos, he was like thinking they might turn it around.
Yeah, I think we're done with a. Offseason hype pieces around Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, it's a little tired. Yep.
It's time. You know what else it's time for, Mark? Ezra Cleveland update. Bang! The Jaguars signed the guard to a 3-year, $28.5 million contract. Rap Sheet says that deal includes $14.5 million in guaranteed money. So the Jags, who got Cleveland from the Vikings at the deadline, they lock him up before he reaches the open market. Bully to them, and I'm sure... Bully to Trevor Lawrence.
A lot of guards are going to get paid. I don't think Jaguars fans are too excited about this, but this is an indication that a lot of
I've spoken to got several, it. And they are over the moon. Greg,
I'm really they basing this on John Shipley, who is a great reporter, and his he didn't seem too excited. He's a reporter, not a writer, but I think
I just root for good storylines. Okay, I mean, when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, yeah, I had favorite teams, but then I grew up. And, I'm not out here rooting for laundry.
Oh, these are the reporters.
I feel.
And, but the storylines, that I root for. I root for the players. I root for certain players that are good guys. But root for a team? I'm a grown man.
Why?
I don't do that.
Can I ask you one question?
Why do you take this so personally? Yes? Well, can't they do what they want?
Are you asking me or that guy?
I'm asking you
as
the portrayal of that person. Oh, every time someone's coming up with a viewpoint that you don't quite agree with, they like suddenly... barely passed high school from Hackensack, New Jersey.
I'm saying that's just a very standard block and tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, you
journo
yes.
explanation.
I feel
that's all.
I feel what? A little attacked because I almost feel like at this point I actually have to pretend I'm more of a fan of the Patriots than I am just to satisfy Dan's craving.
No, you
he
got a little bit of the
buy it.
You got a little bit of the Sessler in you where
yes.
your true feelings betray how you're trying to put out sometimes depending on how the Pats are playing, and you have a little more energy about them still when you talk
absolutely
about
I'm gonna be following them and more into them than any other team, but
hey, it's just laundry,
but it's just the volume is so far down than where it was that it's tough.
Well, you're not a child at this point.
I'm a grown man. I don't root for teams running
right,
around
well.
With
forget,
colors
forget.
On oh I like their colors
forget child
grow
I,
up
I'm just a front runner because it's like I was just as big a fan in 16 and in 18. It was just like, okay, we've accomplished it all. What's the point now?
You can't be taken seriously in this business unless you really take a step back.
I can't take him seriously in this business. Is that how he performs?
I also feel bad, though, Dan, because sometimes I realize I put the news rundown in the wrong order, and I did edit in our Slack channel. Oof. I did not intend to have Ezra Cleveland that threw me. I moved it back down in a later edit, but I don't think you saw that. That probably should have been. That was just
when
sort
was
of an
the edit?
That was an odds and ends on the. it's in our pod now.
Oh, there it is.
It's in our.
There's
pod
the
now.
Latest.
Yeah.
Bills news. We talked about Jordan Poyer being cut yesterday. I don't think this falls on the wrong side of the vengeance scale, but there was more to come from Buffalo starting yesterday. They also cut. Cornerback Tre'Davious White, big name. Mitch Morse, they rework Von Miller's deal. We talked about how that was a mistake that they were living with. And they also bring back Mitch Trubisky. I mean,
that's weird. In all this like news.
Gotta get to Mitch Trubisky. Gotta get Mitch locked down before the open market really gets to size up where he fits in. And Taylor Rapp also signed by Buffalo. So a bunch of moves there. And, this is a team very clearly. Managing their salary cap and also Mark looking to take things in a slightly different direction next year. You know the coach is going to be there. You know the play caller. You know the quarterback. And but there's a lot of other things that you get the idea that Buffalo as a team to keep an eye on, how they attack this offseason after yet another really painful playoff ouster.
Yeah, you saw this coming, because this was another case where we left the building and then the Bills, you know, flooded the news wire with additional cuts. But they were, like, when we finished our show, from in terms of over the cap, like in the worst cap situation in the league. They shaved $37 million off of that. That helps. There's more work to do. But it is interesting, because reading some stuff from people in Buffalo right now, that like Sean McDermott, who has had nothing but success, if you go globally compared to what the Bills were before Sean McDermott, seems to be about on as big of a hot seat as there is right now. I think like fans are going absolutely crazy. He just seems to be under a lot of pressure.
I know, and I get it. There are some things about him that are frustrating to me, and you know, the 9/11 story and how he runs that team pointed out some of his weaknesses, but I also think, like, you got to give teams credit that are right in the mix every year. Like, that's the whole goal.
Right, he succeeded.
I know, like, I know we're in this thing that only Super Bowls matter. It's like, no, that 2017 season was magical when they first made the playoffs. And then in the last four seasons, they've been right there. And it's very frustrating. But this was, I think, a necessary day for them where they had to change eras a little bit. Poyer was part of that era. Tre'Davious White made some all-pro teams. But he just tore his Achilles. He had a torn ACL. Like, this is a move they would have made in any season. Mitch Morris, I thought, was interesting because he's played like 1,200 snaps a season for four or five straight years. And he's a solid center, but just maybe a little overpaid. So that was the cap space thing. And then Von Miller only is keeping his job because he had all this guaranteed money. And I was curious, he actually took less money in this deal. Why did that happen? That's weird. Just, and someone inside the league texted me, he could get suspended. And this will, the way they structured it, he's going to get guaranteed that money. So he took like $3 million less. But if he does get suspended, he'll end up with more. So, it, you know, it works out for these players with the guaranteed.
I know that football is completely different than basketball, but I don't feel that Sean McDermott, hot takes on 9/11 notwithstanding, should be on the hot seat. I'm going to use my own fandom parallel. In the NBA, when Patrick Ewing and Charles Oakley and John Starks, and whether it's Doc Rivers or Derek Harper, could not get over the hump against the Bulls and Michael Jordan. And I don't remember anybody in that media market ever saying, we got to fire Pat Riley, because...
Yeah, but Pat Riley had won like five titles inside
the I understand that, but it's sometimes, my point being, you get good at the wrong time, and Buffalo running into the teeth of the Patrick Mahomes era is really tough. And I understand that, like, you could say, well, then you got to bring somebody in that can figure out how to beat Pat Mahomes, and maybe that time will come. But I'm just giving McDermott and the Bills fans in general, and Eric Roberts behind the glass, this is just a very I've been there in a different way as a fan. Like, it's so frustrating to be here at this moment, because if there was no Mahomes, yeah, the Bills probably get over the hump once or even twice by now, but they haven't been able to. So.
I guess also what I was noting was that, like, Bills fans in that region, I'm not saying, you know, high thinking Bills fans from, you know, other parts of the country, but it's like there is a level of agitation. How do we decide if he's on the hot seat or not? I think there's a fair amount of pressure and a tightening vice around the Bills experience.
And he adds to that, because he's just about as tightly wound as ever. I'm feeling that
I'll
now.
I'll bring a basketball reference closer. I consider the Bills the Lob City Clippers, and Patrick Mahomes, Steph Curry, and the Warriors.
Yeah,
like, you can't even get out of the West.
They never even got to a conference final, but that's fair. I was thinking about my Celtics right now, who've had a ton of success.
Football is completely different than basketball.
And anything short of a championship is going to be disappointing when you're the big...
They're on the Steinbrenner doctrine.
Yeah.
You must win the NBA Finals.
At this point, this season, which is
not a great place to be.
It's not. It's not great, because if they lose to the Nuggets, it's like, that's totally understandable, and yet...
You know who found...
I also sound like an idiot in that clip, by the way.
I don't think so.
Football is completely different than basketball.
That is an embarrassing soundbite.
It's fine.
It's fine. You're fine. Now I forgot what I was going to say, but it was probably trenchant. All right. That's what's happening in the news. We'll take a break, and then we'll welcome in Mina Kimes.
It's backyard barbecue season, so light up the charcoal or fire up the propane and throw some burgers on the grill. Some people like cheeseburgers, others like hamburgers, and people will argue about pickles until the cows come home. But there's one thing that needs no debate: Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise.
It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. You add Hellmann's and boom, next level burgers. It's that easy. And then there's the side that every backyard burger cries out for, potato salad. Do you want to know the best secret ingredient? You've probably already guessed it, Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. There are two kinds of potato salad, deliciously irresistible, rich and creamy potato salad, and potato salad made without Hellmann's. It's up to you what you want to serve. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Welcome back. Sausage Fingers getting a lot of use on the axe recently because we've been having a lot of great guests, and that role continues for Around the NFL, back for another appearance. Oh, it seems like so long ago that Mina Kimes was coming into our old studio in Culver City. We had stopped at a gas station and got us some hip-hop themed potato chips, and it began a wonderful relationship, the ESPN star and the NFL heroes. So what's up, Mina Kimes? Welcome back to Around the NFL.
Hey, I don't know if that was the beginning of our relationship. I don't even know if that was my first
close
appearance.
I think it was your first appearance. And also, I believe you'd had a rough and tumble time at that 7-Eleven before picking up those chips.
That is true. That is lore now in our relationship. That I was so determined to make it that I...
Mina, you'll find out Dan likes to create narratives, which over the years, you know, just start forming into total fictions that...
Create narratives? This is just storytelling. Mina, quick pop quiz. What was the hip-hop star who was on those potato chips?
I think it was Cardi B.
Oh.
Incorrect. Greg?
Well, I don't know if I'm right. This came up. We were talking about it.
You spoke confidently about it when
it came
up recently.
I thought it was Migos.
Migos chips? That sounds potentially right. All right.
No.
Well, you spoke with confidence when we talked about it last time, Greg.
One of your listeners. You guys have a very active, engaged fan base. I'm sure one of them.
Good call.
And, you know, remembers or can dip, go back into the archives.
Oh, you got that right.
Let us know who is correct. All right, Mina, you have taken some time out of your busy schedule, and thank you for that, to help us dig in on the updated rankings. And by the way, just to put it on your radar, Mina, because you're a major national personality, Mark Sessler and I are going to be putting out our free agency 213 at midnight on Tuesday. So just... Let if you want us on one of your programs.
Yeah, still working on it.
We're
like
available.
Doggedly. Yep.
We're available. Wow.
Tuesday seems like a bad time for it since like kind of all the moves happened.
Don't need it. Don't need to hear from you, Greg, on this.
Our way.
Anyway, Greg's 101 is updated.
Yeah.
So, Greg, why don't you get us going here? How do we want to attack what's going on?
All right. So I thought it'd be fun. We go through by position. Now that all these free agent tags have been put on, we've had some interesting players added to the list, like Justin Simmons is now in the top 50. And maybe go through by positions. Good, just do a quick run through of like a top 10 by positions, and then you guys throw out what you don't like, or any sleepers, any busts, any fits that you like. I think defensive end is probably still the deepest, even though the top of the lot got taken away. So at defensive end edge, I have Danielle Hunter out there at number one, Jonathan Grenard, your boy Mina at number two. I don't know if he's your boy. Bryce Huff.
Is he my boy?
Chase Young, 4. Zadarius Smith, 5. Andrew Van Ginkel, 6. Jadeveon Clowney, Josh Uche, Dorrance Armstrong, Marcus Davenport. I mean, even guys like Shaq Barrett and Leonard Floyd, who are good players, are not on the list. This is a position where you can still find some players in free agency. I think Grenard especially had a nice week, that he's kind of the only guy in the sweet spot that is hitting free agency at this time, and there's going to be a bidding war. And I think the Texans are comfortable letting him go for whatever reason.
Grenard, I don't know if he's my boy. He's kind of like an NFL Twitter sweetheart.
He's
right?
A hipster favorite, yeah.
He is, well, last Obo Okoronkwo was Jonathan Grenard before Jonathan Grenard, incidentally, on the same team. He's like, watch the tape and you see how good he is, how complete he is. Good player, though. He is a good player. I agree with you on Houston, especially since you got Will Anderson Jr. They do have a lot of cap space. So I like this group. It's a lot of 1Bs and 2s. Hunter's, I think, the only like real superstar. A guy like Bryce Huff is someone who, you guys know, you know, small sample size all-star. Question, did New York just have too much depth? Obviously, they like to rotate their pass rushers. Or did they feel he wasn't an every down player? That's the kind of question the acquiring team will have to answer. Just looking at this list, I think that Andrew Van Ginkel was like surprisingly great last year. That's a player that I feel like could be had at a reasonable price.
He's a Mark favorite.
It's not just his name. He sounds like it came from a child's fable. But like at the same time, like I feel like it's years in a row when you're watching the Dolphins and he pops up once a game or twice a game doing something completely different. It's like Greg notes in this that if Bill Belichick was still in New England, he'd be going to the Patriots like today, right now. But I think he could help. He's the kind of free agent pickup I like, because you don't have to like blow your budget for him, but he always seems to make a difference.
I think Huff is a guy you want to take a swing on, I think. As a Jets fan, I saw how constant he was in terms of a pass rusher. And, yeah, like they didn't trust him against the run. So that is, you know, you got to watch your tape and make a judgment on your own outside the building. But 26 years old with, like, win rates that are as good as, like, almost any player in the league. Like, yeah. If you can get him at – he's going to be expensive. But if you can get him at a little bit less than – you know, where the top names are going, you might get the most productive, you know, sack specialist of any of them. So I understand why the Jets might be walking away, but I also could see it ended up being a big mistake.
It matters so much, like when you hit free agency, because like Josh Uche coming off last year would have been towards the top of the list. And then the Patriots, like, they never just played him that much. And he's still a good pass rusher, but do you trust him? I have a little bit of like Chase Winovich, I don't know if fatigue is the right word, or just remembering how poorly his post-Patriots career went, and he was kind of a similar type player. But it is a position. You need three edge players, essentially, in the NFL, three good ones. And these guys can all be number twos. There's guys who aren't even on the list, like, you know, Ngakoue is still out there, Epinesa, Charles Harris, like, that are decent. It's deeper than other positions. You can actually find guys, unlike receiver. Let's talk receiver.
Wait, can we just – I have one last idea for Jadeveon Clowney, who's coming off a really good year in Baltimore. Can we, you know, what's the name of the event on NFL Network where we come back to camp, back to training camp or something?
ITC, Inside Training Camp.
But the big launch day.
I think it's like we're all back together again.
Back together Saturday.
Back together. That's what you guys call it. Yeah.
So
we're never actually back together.
We're never there.
We're not included.
We're just still here.
Everybody but ATN, back together Saturday. but you Jadeveon Clowney's at the event, wherever, one of the camps, and you get a big wheel. And whoever it lands on gives him a 1-year, $7 million contract.
Bang.
I feel like he'll sign that and everybody wins.
I would not mind him for my Seahawks reunion with Mike Mack, who I thought got the most out of him. That was a tremendous marriage of defensive coordinator with his skill set, because he's so versatile. He can cover. He's so athletic. Already has a jersey, right? People kind of forget the Jadeveon Clowney era in Seattle, but... yeah, you know, that's something that they need to augment. And that strikes me as, like you said, like that 1 year, single digit millions, maybe a high with incentives kind of deal. But the coach already knows how to use him best.
Good, that, good news for you. Under my plan, 1 in 32 chance.
Right. That is where the value is in free agency. It's like you're not going to get stars at good prices, but you can get especially these older defensive linemen or older defensive players in general, and you get them on 1 year contracts. The Browns loved it last year with him and Za'Darius Smith. Let's talk receiver, where there won't be cheap contracts. The top 10 now has been decimated. And now Calvin Ridley's the best receiver available, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Marquise Brown, who I heard Mina, you and our friend Patrick Claibon dismissing on your podcast. It's a whole ATN Mina Kimes crossover this week because you have our regular Patrick on your show, and, yeah, and we'll have to check that out.
You know, when you have a player that you and a friend or a colleague of the media are obsessed with, and whenever they do something good, you text, it's, I'm sure, like Greg Rosenthal and Steven Ruiz, anytime Geno Smith did everything good, I'm sure you guys got in touch because he's your guy.
That's amazing.
So Marquise Brown is like the opposite for me and Claibon. And I think it's because we were kind of Lamar stands and we were constantly let down by his drops. And every time he would have a drop, instantly, I would pull up my phone and one of us would text the other and upset, be angry about it. I look at this group of receivers and I look at the draft and I just don't see why you would pay a significant amount of money for them. I think you got the guys at the top, your Higgins, Evans, they're probably going to, you know, Indy has money and they can keep Pittman Jr. We'll see for how much. But beyond that, guys, wouldn't you rather have a rookie on a cost-controlled contract given how well they've played in recent years?
Yeah, so the rest of the list, and they are candidates to get overpaid. Gabe Davis, I have third. Curtis Samuel, who I'll never give up on and is somehow still only 28 years old and is a great role player. Actually, probably won't cost that much, so I think he's not a bad pickup.
Yeah.
Darnell Mooney, KJ Osborne, Odell Beckham, Tyler Boyd, Michael Thomas, who we're going to get to a little later, for flaming.
It's a bunch of malcontents.
Jeff Duncan, Kendrick Bourne, who I always think is good, and then Josh Reynolds, and it falls out for there. So it's like a bunch of role players. Brown, Ridley, and I think Gabe Davis are probably going to be that guy you're talking about, Mina, where they get paid a ton of money without, you know, having had a ton of production. But I like Marquise Brown. I feel like he's a player.
I feel like you have to keep him happy, though. It's like it's like no matter what situation he's in, like you're playing with one of the best quarterbacks of our generation, and by the end of it, he's like tweeting stuff, and he's, you know, just an adjutant. So it's like you got to be careful if you're going to go give him a ton of money.
Is this the year where Odell's market finally kind of matches up with where he is, or where, you know, where is Odell? That he's still, even another year later, and he's 31. Like, man, what we did see some things, Mina, from Odell, but then he was also losing playing time down the stretch in Baltimore. And and Greg, as you pointed out in your 101 write-up, which I agree with, I wonder if they could do it over again, would Baltimore get new Hopkins and maybe things are different there, but that's the past. Where do you think Odell's market is this offseason?
I think this is the year that it drops off, because last year it was mystifying to me who Baltimore was bidding against when they paid him. What was it, $16 million, if I remember correctly? Mm-hmm. It actually almost felt like a Lamar cost to get the deal with Lamar. Well, that's total speculation, but you remember at the time when they signed Odell.
Well, then it was worth it. But
They might have been negotiating a little bit against Aaron Rodgers, general manager of the Jets back then. He was reported connected to them a lot, and then Baltimore went and got him. That's how I remember that.
Maybe he'll be a Jet. There were moments where you saw with the ball in his hands, still looks really good. But he was so inconsistent for Baltimore. And then at the end, you know, just games where he wasn't used at all.
Here at NFL Network, they've got paintings all up and down the hallway of NFL legends. And at one point, they painted initially, and this got on my radar.
It's old yarn.
Well, Odell Beckham was painted as a Cleveland Brown, because that's when we kind of landed here in theory. And then, you know, by the end of the season, some painter had to come in and change him to a Ram. And then they just stopped changing the outfit, because it's like he's going to be on his, you know, multiple teams since then. So,
no, they made the mistake. They should have just used the image on the wall of him doing the one-handed catch as a giant, and away we go.
Right. When I was writing that write-up, I actually was thinking about, you know, a theory which seems obvious enough, but as I get older, I think it's more and more true. Like, how much money less would Odell have made in his career if he wasn't so good-looking? This is coming up on, you know, your pet project, Love is Blind. I think I think it really has mattered. I think if he was like an unattractive guy all along, he would have made like less money.
Okay. He's attractive. There's a lot of attractive guys in the NFL, but he also has, I think I just mentioned the catch. The catch gave him a, he made him a legend.
More the catch. Yeah. Okay. It's the marketing aspect of the catch. But again, yeah,
but that all contributed to it.
Okay. Good theory, Greg.
Greg, Saquon, though, I feel like, is as much of a looker, and okay, he might get iced out here. Although, if you know, I think the big data bowl is over, but if someone who goes to MIT Sloan wants to test Greg's theory and see whether pretty privilege exists in the NFL, obviously Jimmy G is going to drag up those averages.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
beyond that, you might be onto something.
Well, and even Saquon, maybe he wouldn't have been as big a star coming out of college. He wouldn't have had as much hype. It like all feeds into itself. Let's talk running backs while we're here. That's,
by the way, Mina, can you come back Saturday night live show at Joxer's Daily in Culver City? Greg's going to unveil his top 10 babes of the NFL. No. If you could join us for that show. Get a babysitter and you know, just,
I'm looking at this free agent now, wondering who is going to be the pretty privileged pick of this class.
You know, Kirk's done pretty well in his career too. Okay, top 10 running backs: Saquon, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler, DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins. Keeps going. Devin Singletary, A.J. Dillon. I'd go even Zach Moss is in my top 10. Yeah, I mean, outside the 10 is Antonio Gibson, Gus Edwards. This is one where the veterans seem like they're better than the rookie class. So not like they're going to get paid because there's so many of them. But this is the year, for instance, I would like to get Tony Pollard. That would be the guy if I was a GM out of that group. And maybe DeAndre Swift would be a close second of like, he's not going to cost that much. But Tony Pollard, a year removed from that injury, people didn't really give him much leeway for coming off that injury a year ago. I would go after Tony Pollard. No,
I don't know.
As like your 1B, like you have like, I don't know, like for instance, the Patriots, they could put a 1B with Ramondre Stevenson, and that's a nice 1-2 punch.
I increasingly am of the mind that two track sort of approach to running back is the way to do it. You get a veteran who's kind of a mid tier running back contract, so not that much, and then you draft a running back in the mid to later rounds. So what Miami has, right, with Mostert and Achan, for example. So yeah, if you could grab like a Pollard on a reasonable deal to pair with a rookie, Henry and Spears in Tennessee this past year is another team that did that. I think that makes sense. I don't think any of these guys are going to command huge contracts because, as you said, there's so many of them, and the draft is not great.
Can I throw out one prediction? There are some guys that are going to end up getting paid a little bit more than we're expecting. I think Saquon, of the guys on this list, there might be a general manager or two that view him as a little different and with a higher ceiling, and in the right offense,
they should
could be better looking,
a little different
Bronx native. Like that, maybe he can be somebody that gets a bigger deal, not a monster contract, but a contract where it's like, oh, he got an extra year. It's some more guaranteed than we expected. Yeah. He's different.
We mentioned this yesterday. Like, I love the idea of him just plug him into the Houston Texans, who have like the most third most cap money in the league and are to come out of this.
There's like some reporting they're not into him for,
but I think that team is going to come out of this like March to May process as like the darlings, the uprising darlings. But because the NFL probably is just a psyop, of course, Saquon Barkley will wind up in the Dallas Cowboys.
Like, what do you think about that?
The nerd numbers actually like Saquon more than I thought this year. Obviously, super frustrating offense to watch. Although there were still games this year where Saquon would just take over, right? And it was very obvious he was still the best weapon in New York. But bad run blocking, the basic numbers were not good. The next gen stat metric that I like, rushing yards over expected, which accounts for blocking and the positioning of the defenders, still had Saquon as, I believe, a top 10 back amongst the high volume backs, which was actually better than anyone else, I think, of these free agents when I looked it up.
He's
so
different.
So I think he's not one of those guys, what I'm saying, who's like all fluff and all fame and looks. I do think he's still a really good player.
I think he's better in some ways than he was as a rookie, and is a smarter runner, like takes what's given. I thought he ran really well last year. I actually thought Josh Jacobs ran well enough in the last month of the season that you were like, ooh, that was Josh Jacobs again.
Didn't he miss the last month?
He concerned.
Or his last games of the season, he finally started making people miss like he used to.
Okay, let's take a quick break here with Mina, and we'll be right back with more discussion of the Greg 101.
It's backyard barbecue season, so light up the charcoal or fire up the propane and throw some burgers on the grill. Some people like cheeseburgers, others like hamburgers, and people will argue about pickles until the cows come home. But there's one thing that needs no debate. Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. You add Hellmann's, and boom, next level burgers, it's that easy. And then there's the side that every backyard burger cries out for, potato salad. Do you want to know the best secret ingredient? You've probably already guessed it, Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. There are two kinds of potato salad, deliciously irresistible, rich and creamy potato salad, and potato salad made without Hellmann's. It's up to you what you want to serve. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
All right, welcome back.
Let's go to safety. This is the deepest position. Just because teams don't care about it. There's so many players available. It's kind of crazy. I have Chauncey Gardner-Johnson at one. I feel like I did check out the rankings of other places after I put mine up, and people are way down on Chauncey Gardner-Johnson now. He's no longer like in the top 50s in any of these other lists, so I guess I'm on a limb there. Xavier McKinney, who's great. Cam Curl, who's great. Julian Blackman, who quietly had a really nice season. Then Justin Simmons, Jordan Fuller, Jeremy Chinn, Geno Stone, Jordan Whitehead, Alohi Gilman. It goes on and on. Your boy Quandre Diggs, maybe he should be on this list too. Micah Hyde, we're not sure if he's going to retire. There are a million safeties out there. Mina, pick something you don't like about my list. That's what is my love language. You know, I miss Wes used to just at this point in the show just tell me what I had wrong.
Yeah, I mean, CJGJ, like I think you're right. People are probably too low on him because last we saw of him, when he did come back from injury, it was very late in the season and he wasn't quite himself. Still a really good player, but I would put him outside of the top five, to be honest. I mean, these are some really good safeties. Like Justin Simmons, I know he's 30 years old. He still plays at such a high level and he's so versatile. You look at, I really think he could probably play in any defense, but I mentioned, on Twitter today that, you know, the Packers are a team that are going to be linked with a lot of safeties. They're switching to new scheme with their defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, more single high. Simmons is a guy who can play the post. He can drop down into the box. He's still a really, really good tackler. He's really, really smart. He called the defense. I to me, maybe McKinney and Curl I would put above him just because they're young and also very talented. But if you're a team where you're just like, McKinney's really good. If you're just like, a safety away, though, and you're kind of filling out the roster like Green Bay, I would love like a Justin Simmons.
And
there.
Simmons is like a Walter Payton Man of the Year locker room guy, like is the guy that you just anchor your defense around and like you plug it into this Green Bay team that's on the rise. I like that.
Green Bay does not have a safety really on their roster.
No.
Right now. And they struggled last year at the
Maybe
position.
They think they don't need one.
Right. And the
ones.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, doesn't it feel like that defense just, they keep throwing first-round draft picks at it, and it just never clicks. And there's always these coverage busts, and I know they hate Joe Barry, defensive coordinator, but the problems precede that. Doesn't it feel like they need that veteran cerebral presence. I know Jair Alexander is forever my honorary captain of that defense, but a guy to really be the leader of the defense. I don't I, for me, you have a lot of youth. Bring in that sort of veteran presence, super smart player, guy who's seen it all. And I feel like this roster is so close.
Right. They should do what the best thing to do in free agency is, which is just get role players. Like that's the best. Free agency is to fill role players, like lower level starters. It just made me think though, everyone's going to be so high on the Packers this year. I just realized I'm going to be, because there are pretty easy fixes here. The coordinator on defense, the safety position, like stuff you can actually do to fix this team, and so many good things that they are going to be the trendy, like they make the Super Bowl team in September.
What'd I do?
Let's do quarterbacks. So Kirk's actually going to become a free agent. I do wonder if Denver is sitting out there as the team that like is getting no buzz, which is often the team that actually makes the big signing because they keep it in house. And I just think Denver, Atlanta, in my mind, are the two most likely places now with Minnesota. Then it's Jacoby Brissett, Baker, Tannehill, Russ, Jameis Winston, Minshew, Tyrod. I got Josh Dobbs and Sam Darnold. There's a lot of people out there. Drew Locke isn't even Mason Rudolph. There's a lot of backup quarterbacks available. Do I have Russell Wilson in the right spot here?
I would put him over Tannehill. Tannehill was really bad last year.
It's fair.
Really bad. I mean, Jacoby over Baker is so spicy, Greg.
That has stood out to all of us.
He just skated over. He's like, yeah, then I got Jacoby, then I got Baker, then I got...
We've been trying to reason with Greg for years on this.
I don't think you totally disagree. Who has been better when he's actually played
quarterback? I mean, I
kind of
think she does based on the way she reacted just now.
I don't believe it.
I would rather have Jacoby at the contract that I think he'll command relative to Baker. In a vacuum, I would probably go with Baker. I thought he put together some really nice performances last year. But Baker at like 35 versus Jacoby at 10, give me Jacoby all day long.
I want to ask you a question. In your world, do you think it matters at all that Kirk Cousins' wife is from Georgia?
This was a concern with Mike Mack, by the way, in Seattle, because his wife is also from Georgia, and Seahawks fans were very concerned about the Falcons, the lure of Atlanta. I mean, less so than that to me is the Zach Robinson offensive coordinator, the ramification of the Falcons. It just seems like Kirk Cousins is such a natural fit for what they're going to want to do on offense, and they have the money to do so. I feel like they're the obvious leader in the clubhouse if Minnesota doesn't bring him back. You mentioned Denver. I mean, they would have to go full Saints cap to try to make that work. Pittsburgh, to me, makes way more sense than I don't think they're going to do it because it seems like they don't want to take a big swing. But that, to me, makes a lot more sense than any other team but Atlanta.
I'm trying to wrap my head around. We were just talking about how Denver just really screwed the pooch with Russell Wilson. And it's messed them up in a lot of ways. We're going to get now, we're going to break the bank for a 36-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles tear. Okay, how does that?
You like that?
If I'm a Denver fan, I don't know if I like that. By the way, the top eight of this list of quarterbacks, Cousins, Brissett, Baker, Tannehill, Wilson, Jameis Winston, Gardner Minshew, Tyrod Taylor. What about this guy? Come on.
You know, Vic Fangio in the secondary as well. He's been trying to just piece this defense together as best he can.
A blitz. Darnold is.
You can't take down Sam.
Upright.
Oh, he makes a guy miss. Now he's in space. Now he accelerates.
Still going. Inside the 10 for the touchdown.
Look at the record. 0-3.
There are no flags, and that is all Sam Darnold.
That is all Sam Darnold.
I'm still so mad we were robbed of Sam getting a real start in San Francisco
Thank you.
This year. The few days where it looked like that might happen were
Thank you, Mina.
So
Sam
excited.
Darnold.
That's all I wanted, Mina. Just give him one shot and see if he could light it up. And I got these bozos saying, shut up about that. He stinks. If he would have had a chance in San Francisco, it could have been different maybe. But another year, another chapter of frustration for the Darnold Hive. Mark,
the discourse would have been so toxic.
I've heard it all before.
I feel like they're out there though. They're a sleeper cell. They're waiting. Mina's part of it. I've noticed. Orlovsky, Daniel Jeremiah, they're all out there waiting, and that means there's some in front offices somewhere. So you might get your wish.
I mean, can't you just put a shot against me that you couldn't just put him at eight? That felt definitely personal.
He doesn't have pretty privilege, no offense to Sam, but he does. I think I'm stealing this from Levitard show. Somebody pointed out he looks like a Lego policeman, and I've never gotten that out of my head.
That's pretty good.
But he does have pretty pick privilege. You saw Mitch Trubisky re-sign with Buffalo.
Yeah, had to lock that in.
Pretty pick privilege.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. That is more of a thing than pretty privilege.
You're right. We didn't get the Darnold start. I would have liked to have seen that. I would have been curious. We didn't get the Teddy start in Detroit, which I wanted.
Oh, fine with that.
Just one last one. Linebackers very deep. We'll do the top 10 at that position. Frankie Louvu, I went with number one. Patrick Queen's been so up and down in his career that I don't even feel good about my own ranking
this
there.
He was so good this year.
I got to
bring Roquan Swift this way.
I know, but then his coach. So maybe if he's in Seattle, great. But I don't know. Roquan Smith, people just forget he was getting benched before Roquan showed up. Jordan Brooks, Levante David, Aziz Alshaier, who our old producer Justin is really high on, how he played in Tennessee. Drew Tranquil, Devin White, who a couple of years ago was an All-Pro. Bobby Wagner, Willie Gay, Josie Jewell. You can get a linebacker. There's a million, 2 to 3 round linebackers, down linebackers. It didn't even include Blake Cashman or Tyrell Dotson or Kyle Van Noy, if you want to call him a linebacker. So there are a million linebackers out there and none in the draft. And the top guys on this list, at least the top three, I think will get a decent amount of money. Who would you take out of that list as your number one, Mina?
Well, I probably would have put Dodson and Cashman in the top 10. I think they're both really good ascending players. Louvu, to me, he's the other NFL hipster fave. You got to have the right defense where you're asking him to rush the passer and, because he's that kind of Swiss Army knife type player. I don't think he's a guy you just plop down and you're like, all right, you're the Mike, you're the leader of the defense. We're going to build around you necessarily. I think you got the rankings correct. It really depends on what your needs are on defense, but I really like Patrick Queen. I thought he played so well this year, and it wasn't just when Roquan first came in, it was like, okay, great. Now Patrick Queen is this incredible athlete. We can just point and shoot, right? He can play fast. He can just get out. He can just play with his hair on fire. But this year, I think you saw him take another step in coverage, diagnosing routes, reading the quarterback, reading the run so well. He's sort of on that trajectory now. We're seeing with linebackers where it takes him 3 or 4 years to really learn how to play the position.
I want to know what Mark's questions for Mina are. Mark is an ultra preparer. He makes pages and pages. And I know it might not have to do with the group we're talking about, but I want to hear these questions.
And also, Mina, you should know that Mark usually goes with Levi, his jacket of choice, but he was wearing the blazer today, which is kind of out of season for him, but I think it connects to you and the level of esteem that you bring.
That's not untrue, but we are also leaving on Sunday for Austin, Texas, and so I'm just wearing, I have to wear this in Austin, so I'm just going to drive home in it. That's the move.
You're going to drive home all the way in a blazer?
Well, I mean, to where I live in Los Angeles, but yeah, to that home, sure. I'll do that.
You want to take it off before the getting in the
car? I don't, it was a decision I made.
Also, we have to wear suits to this thing? Well, that's an unfair kind. I'm not.
Driving a blazer, then it's all stiff and
oh no, I stick it over you stick it over the top of the passenger seat, and then when you get out of the car, you put it back on.
Do you think we're nominated for best sports podcast for the iHeart Media Awards? Or going to Austin on Monday for the show. If we don't win, Mina, do you think we should do a Kanye, Taylor Swift?
Who are the other nominees?
Well, yeah, tell her who we're up against.
I mean, it's bad. It might be you. It's Kelsey Brothers are involved. Every other kind of thing.
That's hard.
Levitard, Kelsey Brothers. I think probably the least listened to of the group. Pardon My Take, I think, is one of them.
Yeah,
this is really the titans of the industry.
We do have we have pretty privilege though. So
we also don't know there's no proof or investigative knowledge of who's voting for this. It's not just out there in the public, and that probably hurts us because it's
so you're kind of like the Lions of
sure.
Ooh, I like that.
And we're hoping if we attend, maybe they're like, all right, throw them the bone. Hey, do you have questions for Mina?
Mark? I want to talk about one team that I think has a lot to do this offseason. Okay. And it's yes, we know about the Dolphins and Jeff Zwiebeck, who writes for The Athletic about the Ravens. I want to read this paragraph. The Ravens' unrestricted free agent class is set to include their 2023 touchdown leader, their top two backs, their most accomplished wide receiver, their two starting guards, a Pro Bowl inside linebacker, excuse me, their return specialist, two, there's just the list is so long, two of their three leaders in sacks and the AFC leader in interceptions. It's like the Ravens typically always find a way, and I just assume they'll plug these pieces in with other players and go, you know, 10-7 again, but that's a laundry list. How do you attack
right.
that?
Mm. And it's hard, you know, with the brain drain and coaching too, it's one thing for us to say, well, you know, they're bringing in defensive veterans and they, you know, Van Noy has a career, Clowney has a career year, but you lose not only Mike McDonald, but also Anthony Weaver, who's now the defensive coordinator for Miami. You know, they promoted internally, but there's still some change there that makes things hard. I was just pulling up their cap because I wanted to see what they could do from it, like, you know, who they can already restructure. I think Ronnie Stanley has a pretty big contract because they tagged Madueke, and I think that they're going to try to get something done with him. It seems like I haven't really heard his name come up in trade requests, and in doing so, they might be able to create some flexibility there. Oh yeah, okay, yeah, you can restructure some of these guys. Lamar. Anyways, I think though that the bigger thing, more than the defense, to me is the guards.
Hmm.
Simpson and Zeitler.
Sure.
Because this offensive line is sort of like kind of flown under the radar. What a strength that they've been for this team, particularly in the run game. And I feel like you got to at least bring one of them back.
Right. Both their starting guards are available. And John Simpson is a guy that I heard from people that is going to get paid. Kevin Zeitler is one of sneaky all-time bag getter. I think he's going to hit his fourth good free agent contract, which is or fourth good contract in the NFL, which is almost impossible
God,
to
love
do
it.
For
God
NFL players. They could have a surprising right. cut or two here before Monday. I don't know who it would be, or else it wouldn't be surprising. I guess Marlon Humphrey would be one that like.
I know, I'm playing with the Spotrac tool right now. Have you guys ever used this to where you restructure the contract? It's so satisfying.
Whoa, really? I mean, I use Spotrac all the time, but I don't break it down like that.
Ronnie Stanley could be another surprise cut. Something could happen there. Let's wrap up. One last position will get you out of there. Cornerback. It is hard to get a cornerback in free agency. A couple are off the board already. Kendall Fuller is sort of my number one by default. He's a good player, but he's 29 and he's probably better in the slot than outside. So it's not like a number one corner. Stephon Gilmore is a good example of what I was talking about before, where like the best values in free agency are these short-term deals. He's still playing well, but he's 33. Kenny Moore, Chidobe Awuzie, who's coming off a bad year, Steven Nelson, Christian Fulton, who I'm not going to give up on, who I just think has some good ball in him, Adoree Jackson, Kayshon Nixon, who's an all-pro returner, Akella Witherspoon, and Tre'Davious White coming off of injuries. It's not a good list.
Worst group. Looking at your list, oh my God. I think Gilmore's the best player, but you know, you can play, obviously, man coverage. You don't want to sign him to like a multi-year deal, though, probably. So your hope is that he's going to ring chase and maybe... seeing this list, my only takeaway is... the Chiefs should probably trade Lejarius Sneed because some team is going to give up something ridiculous for him because he's so much better than most of these players.
Bingo.
And they will. I think they will. It seems like they are certain, like that they're just allotting for Chris Jones to get re-signed and then them to trade. But just if all cornerbacks are bad, then they're not all. And then like guys like Steven Nelson are actually good because they're just like not the worst thing ever. And it's just so hard to find cornerbacks. I don't know.
All right, Mina, we're going to let you go because you got a lot to do. You want to get any plugs in there?
You got NFL Live later.
Yeah, what
today
do we got? What's with
Ron Rivera on
with
the
Ron
show?
I'm on NFL Live in 50 minutes with Ron Rivera. As we discussed, check out the latest episode of the Mina Kime Show featuring Lenny, featuring the great Patrick Claibon, who is always a delight talking about free agency. Yeah, you can also watch it on YouTube. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Thank you, Mina. Remember, Mark and I have our free agency 213 coming out midnight Tuesday. If you need us, let us know. Mina Kimes, everybody. There she goes.
Thanks, Mina.
Thank
She's
you.
The best. Seeing that cornerback route. My God. Well, let's take a break. And when we get back, we'll wrap things up.
It's backyard barbecue season, so light up the charcoal or fire up the propane and throw some burgers on the grill. Some people like cheeseburgers, others like hamburgers, and people will argue about pickles until the cows come home. But there's one thing that needs no debate. Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. You add Hellmann's,
And boom, Next Level Burgers, it's that easy. And then there's the side that every backyard burger cries out for, potato salad. Do you want to know the best secret ingredient? You've probably already guessed it, Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. There are two kinds of potato salad, deliciously irresistible, rich and creamy potato salad, and potato salad made without Hellmann's. It's up to you what you want to serve. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
All right, welcome back. Yes, you just heard the great Meenak Himes, and seeing that cornerback group reminded me that it won't be long before Zuzzer will be putting together his Greybeards 2024 roster, and it is always the back end of the defense that I feel I most worry about, and I'm feeling like I'm going to be in a position where I'll have, I don't know, Antonio Cromartie in the slot at this point. once the bones are picked from that group.
This is an old group. This is an older group of, I mean, that's how free agency works. I'm not going to be 22, but
it just shows you how it's so hard to find cornerbacks. Like, it just feels like it's like an impossible position. I think about that too when they do the combine. They're the best athletes. I mean, you could make an argument for the defensive ends or the tight end, like in different ways. But I think if you're judging just total athleticism and it's the hardest position. It's sort of an impossible position. I think they are the best athletes.
That's what I played in high school, by the way.
There you go.
Cornerback.
You played a little line too, as I recall.
Running back, but then it became. We would just take anyone that is of a certain size and stick them at cornerback.
Were you some cornerbacks, they stick their nose in it, and other cornerbacks is like, oh, they don't really want to tackle.
No, I was the cornerback that they would do all things under heaven to not put on the field. So.
I'd love to play a little fly on the wall with the coaching staff of Camp Happiness High and just be like, you know, hear them be like, with Sessler's athleticism, we got to get him in an impact position, number one corner. Shut down half the field.
No, they were like, we've got to get him on the Ridgefield press beat instead of the actual playing beat as fast as possible.
Speaking of Michael Thomas, by the way, we mentioned that he's, you know, he's going to be out there. And the Thomas Saints marriage had some really high highs. Second round pick in 2016. Three-time Pro Bowler, two-time first team All-Pro. I mean, this is a guy that once had 149 catches in one season. He got the bag because of it. Immediately suffered an ankle injury his first game the following season. And really, ever since that moment, has never been the same. A bit of a, I don't think he qualifies under locker room lawyer, which is always something I love. But I think he does qualify under the column of pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And also a guy that has opinions. I saw Jeff Duncan, I think, who had a report out there that the Saints were done with Thomas. Michael Thomas's reply under one of my favorite Twitter handles, of course, can't guard Mike. I will read this verbatim and understand in terms of lawyers out there, somebody looking to sue for libel or slander. This is Michael Thomas, not Zuzzer. Jeff Duncan is a
trying to stay relevant, so let's speak on it. The Saints leak information to him to try to ruin players' value, but see, I'm not broke, so I can speak on it. He is broke, so he needs clicks. Go look at all his articles that never end up being true. Now, in Thomas's defense, yeah, there's a lot of business being done by beat reporters to get favors and saddle up and cozy up with front offices for work down the line. Now, is he a don't know that for sure. Is he broke? We don't know Duncan's financial situation. So
I doubt it. I mean, perhaps he's been gainfully
broke is strong.
Point being a little time. Pot calling kettle black, because I'm not sure the reporting, specifically the one about Mr. Duncan being a can be corroborated without triple sourcing it.
Well,
how do you feel about it? Tell me how you feel about it.
I don't know what he is upset about, because the article is only for digital subscribers, but the news, you know, they got to make money. Shout out to NOLA.com. But
yeah,
the news was just that the Saints were releasing him, which I got to admit is a pretty big fly in the ointment for the old Top 101, because Michael Thomas has been there at 101 this whole time. And I was like, release him. He's a free agent. And apparently they had this insane contract where there
the
was
Saints like, insane contracts.
They
what?
And his agent was quoted saying it's a 1-year deal. Always has been. That's 100% how it's structured. No two ways about it. He's an unrestricted free agent like everyone else in March 15th. But apparently he had some bogus void year that was like $80 million in it. And it was just like total fantasy. So technically he wasn't a free agent yet. And Jeff Duncan releasing that, maybe Michael Thomas thinks like, he's putting that out there to almost make him look bad, that they're not releasing him. He was always a free agent all along. I don't know if there's more to it than that, other than he has been, you know, down talking Derek Carr, his quarterback, too, for much of
it. It was nice of Michael Thomas at the end of that tweet to say, you know, not just he needs clicks, but go read. I believe he said, go read all of his articles and find out if they're true or not. Like, that's actually going to help Jeff Duncan.
Duncan
did
got
say
the paywall on top.
Well,
of
you got to, if you're a paywall person, otherwise, you know, that's going to be a tough road.
He did put out an article, and this might be what he was upset about a month ago, where he said it's time for them to move on from Marshawn Lattimore and Michael Thomas with some sort of vague, you know, inside the locker room stuff. And that brings up Lattimore, who, by the way, like quietly one of the more interesting stories in the NFL. I think he's going to be traded, and yet no one is reporting about how he's going to be traded. And that seems to be more of a Dennis Allen.
People don't want to be called a in public.
Well, no, Marshawn Lattimore. There's Marshawn Lattimore is totally separate. He hasn't had
it. He could do it too.
Well, he hasn't had any major issues other than there has been reporting that, you know, him and Dennis Allen don't get along, and Dennis kind of like the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
So every offseason, Dennis Allen has to have a falling out with a key member of the secondary?
The difference is Lattimore is a top-tier cornerback, and if he truly was available, very intriguing, and I would think should get a high draft pick.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, especially in this market. Hamana, hamana. All right. Good week of shows. Huge week of shows coming up next week. Like we said, we'll be doing beginning of the week in Texas, but we'll be very quickly coming back to LA and doing a mixture of shows from Texas and mostly from here in Los Angeles in the studio starting on Tuesday. So we'll be all over the free agency picture as it unfolds and how your favorite teams fare in what is sometimes an unfair process, free agency as a fan, because you get yourself excited. And then, like I said, it don't always work out, but the excitement of the signings, you could always spin it in the moment as a beautiful thing. And then draft season comes, and that's hope season. And everybody's staring at a playoff roster at the beginning of June. We're not there yet, but this is the first step toward that.
I mean, it's ripe ground for heartbreak. And like only at this point, if you're above a certain age in life or station in life, you'd have to be almost an ultra rube to fall for some of these signings, because if you look at the vast majority of them, 2 or 3 years later, they're roadkill.
They can help you out as like role players.
Mark, you're right. You're a technical lighthouse.
Some of them, like the top tier. Like yes, like Siju Uzama probably got a little too much pop a couple years ago for
what a
blocking tight end could add to the offense. But there's a lot of good role players that you'll pick up.
Mark, let's close the week with. Something that we touched on on Wednesday's show, I believe, or maybe it was Monday's show. You had an abrupt announcement retiring from Twitter. The nature of the tweet seemed to be an attack at the of the analytics community, as I recall, followed by an abrupt, I believe the word, well, let me pull it up. Is it still alive?
I'd rather we gloss over the actual wording.
Well, it's in the it's in the Discord.
People can go find
it. You could delete it. Oh, it's still there.
No, I didn't need to delete it.
I don't need to read the whole thing, but the final, just the reason why I'm saying this, you ended it with, "This is my last tweet ever, and I believe in you." So that was February 28th. It is now March 7th. I don't see another tweet. Is it indeed over?
Yeah, because it's a personal thing. For me, I think if you go read the guts of the tweet, or at least part of the guts, it's more a little bit about how I feel that sports in general has lost its... I think that numbers and analytics are fine. If I could edit it a little, I would have taken some of that acerbic out of it. But the sports writing and everything has just lost its beauty from the old days a little bit. Mm. And I know Greg would say, well, then you go write a sports article that tries to bring that back. But it's I just think that...
That is definitely not what I was gonna say.
Environment has become so...
Can we give Mark some dramatic music underneath this? Go ahead.
And here's a second part to it. I've noticed that, I'm a 50-year-old adult that's, gets every week they give you that chart, that thing on your phone about how many hours you spent just sitting on your phone. And it's when it comes to things like Twitter, I no longer feel joy when I tweet something where I just sit around and find out who likes it and who responds to it for the vast majority of those tweets. To the point where I'm kind of just... post it in my life. Other people enjoy it, use it, have fun. People can find community on it. I'm not saying everyone should follow me or anyone should, but I myself am a post sitting around looking at likes. I want to carve that out of my life and it's gone.
I think I'm excited about this as Mark's friend. We have been on the end of many a text in the last 10 years furious about what other people are tweeting. So it did seem like it was an unhealthy thing. Yeah. Not even so much whatever you wrote.
Or what I was tweeting. That was also problematic.
But more what you were reading from other people. So if that is going to make your life healthier and be out in the world more, interacting with the actual world, I think that's a good thing. I like Twitter, but,
Yes, I agree with everything everyone said. Mark?
We don't have to agree with me.
No.
Yeah.
This is your journey here.
Right, right. And it's just simply it's a personal decision. Could I have crafted a more graceful
final stanza? I just hope you're not on it, still reading all the tweets that annoy you.
No. I would only go on if there was something I had to link into that I'd been told is for the show or something like that,
Well, good luck on this journey.
Thank you.
And I believe in you. What did you write? You wrote...
Well, I ended with a positive note. I could have, if there were an edit button, which people have always asked for, I would have probably made a few changes there. But I'm not going to go delete it 5 minutes later.
Well, they did add an edit button, but you have to pay for it.
Yeah, I'm not doing
and
that.
And then
either.
Everyone can read your edits. Here's the thing:
that's absurd.
If you can read the edit, it actually makes it worse.
You look like a numbskull.
Check what the edit is, and it's stupid.
I this morning retweeted a post from Adrian Grenier, the actor from Entourage. And I think people should, this might be a good way to go out. If you copy this with the photo. So it's a picture of the guy from Entourage. Haven't been posting because I've been too present, distracted by the moment. Sorry, but thank you. It's kind of what you're getting at in a way.
I don't know.
Go full Grenier is all I'm saying. Do a goodbye post where you say that. That would be my...
Also, you'll miss out on opportunities to do things we can retweet. Our friend John Gonzalez just launched his own daily basketball podcast.
Good transition.
So,
But he can't do that.
To check that out. I see it in my feed, I'm going to do that right now.
Yeah, I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah.
I couldn't write back to the soccer owner friend that you have. And he probably thinks I'm not thankful, but I am if he were to dig into the show.
He's a listener, as I said, Shalin.
I think he would understand that
he's aware that you actually can't reply.
Right.
Per ethics.
Off the hook with him.
Yes. All right. Thank you, everybody. I hope that clarifies everyone who's wondering about that tweet. All right, till Monday and the beginning of free agency. Here we go. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. Burgers are best fresh from the grill. Well, more specifically, burgers with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. And what backyard barbecue is complete without some potato salad? Not just any potato salad, of course. Potato salad highlights the rich, creamy goodness of Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. So if you want to take your barbecue season to the next level, stock up on Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.